And welcome again to the Ask Beattie Show. And isn't it the truth? We all certainly go through so many ups and downs in our lives. And the reality is, it doesn't matter whether or not you're rich or poor or educated or not, or gay or straight or Jewish or Christian or Muslim, is that we all have many challenges in life. And of course, ultimately, we need to make some choices. We need to decide whether or not, and this is what I ask my patients all the time. When people initially call me for psychotherapy and sex therapy, I need to know whether or not they are actually really, really serious about acknowledging and addressing and resolving issues as best as we can, even though, of course, we ultimately know that we certainly cannot change our history. And, you know, one of the things that I have found over the past 35 years, and every week when I say that, I can hardly believe that I've actually been practicing for 35 years, is that I found, frankly, that the majority of people, A, they certainly wait way too long to reach out and ask for help. And you would be surprised that even though people will contact therapists, that frequently, they're really not serious about doing the work. Because as I say all the time, this is not a tea party. If you're really looking at issues from your family of origin, whether or not it was the abuse or whether or not it was things that did or did not happen in your early life. And that's one of the things, too, that I found, is that somehow we cannot just pretend that we can begin in the moment, and that there is actually a way that people need to be prepared to emotionally work through what I call the unfinished business and the skeletons in our closet. And we all have unfinished business and we all have skeletons in our closet. But unless we are prepared, unless we're really serious and prepared to emotionally try to deal with all of this, we typically have one foot in the past and one foot in the present. Now, today, as it happens, is show 270. This is the 270th Ask Beattie Show that I've done here on the Progressive Radio Network. It's really amazing how quickly the shows and how quickly the years have gone by. So, you know, whether or not you are dealing with depression, and there are so many people in this country who are suffering with true clinical depression. In fact, that number translates into 16 million adults in the United States, and that's one in five Americans. 40 million adults are suffering from a variety of anxiety disorders, which has actually taken over the number one mental health issue in this country. So again, whether or not it's depression or anxiety or substance abuse of various different kinds, or sexual problems or relationship issues, you know, one of the things I remember when I met with Gary Null, who of course is the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. I mean, I've been in mainstream radio and television now for over 25 years, but the reason why I love to do these shows is that I hope that there is some little thing that I might say to you every single week that might motivate and inspire you and give yourself permission to reach out and ask for help when you find that you're on a merry-go-round or a roller coaster ride and not a fun ride, and you seem to be going around in circles and you simply don't know what to do. And I think that mental health in this country, there's still a pretty big stigma. I think it's gotten a lot better about people basically giving themselves permission and not beating themselves up and not looking at themselves as if they are weak. Because what I've found over all these years, it's the people who are strong. It's the people who have the guts. It's the people who really once and for all want to do what is in their best interest. And of course, that's something that I also talk about all the time, is how important that it is that we are mindful every single day as we navigate our lives, as we navigate our relationships, that we actually stop. And of course, living here in New York City, everybody is always running and everybody is always stressed and everybody is always working and running around. But it's really important that we just take time to stop and ask ourselves, as I do every single one of my patients as they are leaving their sessions, my parting words to them is this. I want all of us to be mindful every single day that we are actually living our lives, that we are doing things that are really in our best interest, rather than engaging in destructive and self-destructive and self-sabotaging relationships and activities that ultimately will do us in. So I'm asking you also to really do that and see whether or not, you know, as you are doing your own self-analysis, whether or not there's some things that you actually have discovered, not to beat yourself up, not to live a life of regrets, but discoveries that you can do things that are much, much more constructive and beneficial to your life and to your relationships. So not just talking about mental health, but there are many, many other things if we look at our physical well-being that we also need to do. And of course, Gary Noel, he talks about this every single day. And people make a lot of excuses. And you know, Gary has coined a couple of phrases that I tend to use a lot. I use it with patients and I use it here on the radio. Intentional ignorance and neglect, okay? I mean, we know a lot about healthy eating. We know a lot about the importance of exercise. And yet I think it's very, very easy to make a lot of excuses why we can't do this and we can't do that. So for example, if we really want to live healthy lives, yes, a plant-based diet is really important. And it's not just something that Gary Noel or Beattie Confredos is talking about. I mean, the science is really there. The fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the fish, the nuts, exercise. I mean, there have been so many articles and more articles in the New York Times about the importance of exercise. And I hear excuses every day. I haven't got the time. The health clubs are too expensive. Well, you don't need a health club to exercise. You can walk around your neighborhood. The importance of weight training, of yoga, of meditation, of massage, all of these things are things that really are in our best interest. And again, it's stopping and being mindful and making sure that the way we are living is constructive living versus self-sabotaging our well-being. And of course, the importance of having supportive people in our life. And this is something else that I ask you every single week, to take a look at the people in your life, your friends, your family. Are you in an environment with people who really bring out the best in you? And I'm not talking about that there aren't going to be differences and there aren't going to be debates. Or on the other hand, like so many people, certainly people that I treat, where so many of the people and so many of the relationships are really very, very toxic. And, you know, we often talk about eliminating toxins, chemical toxins from our lives. But what I have been telling you and what I will continue to tell you is that we also need to eliminate toxic people. Toxic people will kill us one way or another if we allow it. If we enable that kind of behavior, we are participating in a dynamic. It's not just that we're going to look at ourselves as being the victim. We are then participating in a dynamic that is absolutely destructive and self-destructive. So I want you, this is a show about really being honest with yourself and thinking about the things that we all need to do to improve the quality of our lives and the quality of our relationships. Other things, you know, that I quickly want to mention, positive visualization, dancing, listening to music, herbal teas, aromatherapy, helping others and giving back. I know that's something that's been very, very helpful to me over the years. I think that, you know, being in the profession that I'm in and that helping others has given me, it's given me a great deal, more than I can ever fully express. Getting a dog, great company. There was a piece in the New York Times talking about what a great way to meet people, to get away from the computer and the Facebook and the Twitter and the social media and actually get out and have some face-to-face interactions with people. Eliminating sugar and soda and alcohol and really and truly trying to minimize, and the studies are there, minimizing the social media, the cell phones and the computers, and really finding a way, you know, life goes by so quickly, to really find a way to find a balance between work and family and having some fun. And if you're finding that something or some things are really getting in the way of all of that, again, all I can do is encourage you to reach out and ask for help, and that therapy does not need to last years and years and years. And sometimes just getting a second opinion, a second perspective, can really make all the difference in the world. Well, today I have a couple of guests, and the first guest, and I want to welcome you, Jane Gulpin, is a real Renaissance woman, and for a number of years, she was General Counsel Vice President of Warner Brothers. I was very impressed, Jane, you know, when I was reading that. You were in basically an all-male world at that level, right?
It was, pretty much.
Uh-huh. And she was the litigation counsel to its parent company, Time Warner Incorporated. She now pursues and lives her passion, which includes painting, sculpting, music, and writing. And in addition, you won a Drama Desk Award as associate producer of the long-running show Celebrity Autobiography. I mean, you've really changed, you know, from the legal world that you were in for so many years into the arty world, and it recently had its Broadway debut, and she received her BA from Barnard and her law degree from NYU. And of course, you are the author of the new book, With No Regrets, Getting Older, Face It, Live It, Love It. And my second guest is my friend, Cheryl Benton. Talk about a woman who wears so many different hats. Cheryl is the founder and publisher of the Three Tomatoes Lifestyle Media Platform for Growing Women. Of course, I have been a part of all of this since I've been in New York, which you started after a successful career in advertising. And Three Tomatoes celebrates women, and I can certainly attest to that, at every age and stage of our lives. So not only do you do all of that, Cheryl, you're the author of a novel, Can You See Us Now?, which I really loved. I really did love it. I think everybody should go to Amazon and buy the book. And co-author of Martini Wisdom. And you recently launched, and I think we're all so excited about this, the Three Tomatoes Publishing Services to help women get published, because as you've said, that women's voices and stories, especially as we get older, really need to be told. So welcome, welcome, ladies. And before we start our conversation, I was looking at a really good, a good music that I thought would be something that we could start the conversation with. So here we are, Helen Reddy, I Am Woman. So Jane Goldman, let me ask you this. What inspired you to write this really wonderful book? And I have to tell you, on Sunday, I was heading out to the tennis courts and I decided that I was just going to skim it. And I read it in one sitting, and it was the kind of book I really didn't want to put down.
Thank you.
No, really. So what was it at this point in your life that you decided to put down these really important thoughts and experiences that you've had over the years?
Well, I'll first start with what you were talking about before, about what keeps women and anybody ageless, and that's about having a passion. And finding your passion or living your passion is a way to negate all aging issues. But I have to say about this book, it started many years ago when I took a writing class at New York School, right after I stopped working at Time Warner, and I wrote a number of pieces, and I put them into my file cabinet. And years later, I took them out thinking, well, maybe I should go back to this now that I'm not working 20 hours a day litigating for things for Time Warner. I might as well see, what did I write? And I sent it to a friend of mine, Randy Levine Miller, who then said, these are good. Send them to Cheryl Benton to put in the magazine, Three Tomatoes. And that was really my only intention at that time. But Cheryl said, you know what, I'm starting a publishing company. Why don't you be my first author? And that's what began me to write the book. With that, it seemed like she charged my brain cells that had been dormant for about 10 or 15 years into writing, because I practiced the piano. I did sculpting and painting. Those were my passions. But all of a sudden, she said, why don't you write this book? And then within 2 weeks, 20 more pieces came to my mind, and it was a passion, and it was wonderful. And Cheryl was a terrific publisher for me, because every Sunday we spent hours on the phone, as me being very careful with my words as a lawyer, always saying, should I change this word, and very patient, and highly recommend as a first publisher, first author. She took me through a very unusual and sometimes daunting journey.
No, and I love the way the book is actually organized, and we're going to go through some of the different chapters. But tell me the important lessons. And of course, it's not about regrets. Mm-hmm. It's about discoveries. What have we actually learned, you know, when we look back retrospectively at our life? And what have been some of the most important lessons in living that you've learned and that you've shared and that you want to share with readers?
Very good question. I think it is just that, living, and not living with regrets. I have a piece of my book that talks about what do I mourn most, and I think I end that piece with saying the thing I mourn most is mourning anything that was and not truly appreciating everything that is, which will all too soon become the past. So I think it is about celebrating life, about living, and I have a piece of my book related to my sister who had no regrets when she got a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. And I don't mean to say this book is a sad book.
Right.
But the lessons were really taught to me as I watched the way she lived that year. And it was about making sure you do what is important to you. You were talking about that. Making sure that your interests also are high up on the list and not behind others or not in place of others, but you celebrate life and make sure that you're a top priority on your own list. My sister didn't leave anything for the last minute. She certainly did not want life to end, but she said that she had no regrets when she got her diagnosis because she didn't leave things for the last minute. And that has been a lesson to me that I've tried to live in the years since she passed, so mm-hmm. that when my time comes, as I say in my book, as all our time will come, I could have said, I live my life with no regrets. That's not to say that I still don't have regrets that I have to get rid of from the past.
Right.
Nobody lives a life without that. But it is to make sure that you don't continue to live it, and you do what is important to you, and you discover your passions.
Exactly. I mean, what have you discovered since writing the book? I mean, are you walking the walk? Do you live your life authentically and honestly? And we've all been through ups and downs, and there have been detours along the way. You know, and I always talk about lessons to be learned. What have you learned? I mean, other than, you know, just living life fully and passionately. I mean, in many of the chapters, and if we just really start at the beginning, you know, where did I go? And of course, that was about one's physicality. How have you dealt? And I think so many women who are, of course, these days, you know, people are concerned about their appearance. And, you know, when I see 20-year-olds that are getting Botox and fillers, I mean, we're obsessed with our physicality and our appearance. So in the first chapter of Where Did I Go? Where are you at in terms of where did I go? You look beautiful, by the way.
So. Thank you so much. I'm glad this is just audio so nobody could check out what you're saying.
No, it's true. It's true.
It was an important piece to me because I think that none of us ever see us changing. We look in the mirror every single day and we don't see ourselves. And then one day we look in a mirror and I say in my book, suddenly young people are looking in the same mirror and they leave. And I'm left with my image that looks like my mother and not like me. I didn't see it changing. And that's not easy for any woman, especially in our society, because there is the whole focus on how you look. It was even when I was starting as a lawyer, but then they wanted you to put your hair up and they didn't want you to look glamorous like they want women to look now in the day that I became a lawyer. But it is very hard, and it is a challenge each of us face. I have another piece in the book called Beautiful, which is about dealing with making sure that you see yourself in the mirror, not just all the makeup and everything on your face. If you see yourself and know that inside you're beautiful, you're a good friend, you're caring, you're compassionate, you are passionate also, then you can always be beautiful looking in the mirror. That's not to say that when I look in the mirror, I at all feel that way. I come out with something positive in what I say in my book, which is, wouldn't it be great if one could see what the years gave you rather than what they took away, and not search for the surgeon's short-term fix, but to see the lines not as disappointments, not as aging, but as smiles you were given, the lines around your mouth and things like that. That is not easy, and I work on that as well as any other woman. And it is not easy to not go to the surgeon and not run, you know, to get more Botox and get your hair fixed and all that. On the other hand, even if one is oriented that way, one should appreciate, and I try to do that, looking in the mirror and seeing who I am, and that supersedes the changes of my face, and also knowing that 10 years from now, I'm going to think about this face, that this was pretty good, as now I look and think, why wasn't I happy when I was 50? I look pretty good then. And so that may happen 10 years from now. So appreciate what it is now, and then, you know, worry about the future when it comes. Live day by day.
And I think we're very hard on ourselves. Don't you think, Cheryl,
Absolutely.
That women are very, very hard?
We are our own worst critics.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. You know, and I just want to say, you know, to women who choose to have facelifts and fillers, and if that works for them, then so be it.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, as long as they continue always to see themselves and not be taken by changing their face, as long as they stay true to themselves underneath their face with all the changes.
And of course, dealing, you know, with all the issues. You know, just before I took the subway to the Progressive Radio Network studio today, I had a telephone therapy with a woman. And, you know, you talk about really not dealing with things that are really important. This woman, she's a household name. She's beautiful. She's successful. We all know who she is. And despite, you know, the wealth and the success, she, you know, happens to be in a very, very abusive marriage. And nobody would believe that this particular woman, you know, who in her own world is so powerful and so smart, and so physically beautiful, you know, would have ended up in a situation like this. And I think that, you know, as I was saying at the beginning of the show, how important it is that we're really honest, you know, with ourselves, and that when we find ourselves in situations that are not working, you know, how incumbent it is upon ourselves to really take an honest look. It was just amazing. I had this hour conversation with her, and she was continuing to make all kinds of excuses for her husband's absolutely disgusting abusive behavior. And, you know, and I worry her health is starting to really come undone, and drinking more, etc. And again, being honest, you know, I see a chapter here on integrity. And when you talk about integrity, it's being honest with oneself, not just with other people.
Right, that's very true. But also in what you're saying about women, about staying in abusive relationships, I think we're grown up, especially in our generation, to be caretakers. So no matter what, we'll excuse somebody else and be a caretaker. And that sometimes then puts us always in the background, and you can spend your life as that.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
But in integrity, it's not always so easy. I start that line by saying, a man wanted a woman of 50. I lied about my age. Can I trust him if he can't trust me? And but on the important things, integrity is my piece was a fun piece on the issue of integrity. But on that issue, I think that's one of the things that are most important, that we're honest with ourselves, honest with our friends, honest in how we live our lives. And that's very important.
Exactly. And I think that so many women do stay in dysfunctional and abusive relationships because of fear of being alone. And just, you know, better to have somebody who knocks you around, maybe not physically, but certainly emotionally and verbally, than to be able to be, you know, by oneself and to be independent. And the thing that was so interesting about this woman is that she was one of the most independent women that we ever could have heard about and read about, and how easily she has switched into this victim. And this relationship, if she doesn't get out, it's going to kill her.
And of course, there's always that fear, especially if you're past 50,
right,
let alone 60, that no man is going to ever have an interest in you because you haven't done your plastic surgery as beautiful as other people see you.
Exactly.
You're not perfect. And it's a fearful thing. Sometimes the life that you know gets to be more comfortable than the life that you don't know. It's women can be fearless, but fearful about changing.
It's exactly true. You know, you have a chapter here which I double starred called Delete.
Oh, great.
I loved that chapter. So tell our listeners what this is about. Oh, it was about deleting.
Delete.
Yes.
Well, at the time I wrote that, I was also playing with words, using words of one area to express a meaning in another. And I started to use the words of a computer, words that deal with computer language, to talk about the breakup of a relationship. And actually, I had, just shortly before I wrote that piece, had a relationship that broke. And sometimes I found using a play on words, like using the words of computer to describe that, was a good way to express what I wanted to express about mistakes I made, about how you can't go back, how you can't change the fonts, and but you pretty much know early on that you may not really be a match. Your favorites, as I say in my piece, using words of computers, may not match. But it's important to really see that, and you really can't go back. If a relationship is not right, you have to move on. And sometimes you have to stop and not just run into another relationship. I would find myself always seeking in the next relationship the very big thing I didn't have in the former one, but it wasn't enough because it wasn't more of what I wanted. It was just finding what somebody before didn't have. So you really have to clear the deck, take time by yourself, be able to be by yourself, I think, and then you're more ready to start the next.
Well, this is the whole thing, and of course, I talk about, I mean, I go around the country talking about how to never make a mistake in love again, and gee, I wish I had known all of this when I started my own relationship life, because God knows, you know, I've certainly had my own ups and downs. But basically, what I've discovered, it'll be interesting to hear what both of you have to say, is that, you know, you talk about deleting, that there are three things that people really need to do if we are never going to make a mistake in love again. And as you're saying, the first thing is really knowing yourself, and that each of us needs to be in a really good place emotionally and psychologically and psychiatrically, and we have to be really willing to deal with the unfinished business and the traumas from the past, knowing, of course, that we can't change history, so that we are really solid. And I used to tell my daughter Jordana this all the time, that the relationship needs to be the icing on the cake. We need to be the cake. We need to be solid. We need to be strong. We need to have clarity. Otherwise, it is so easy to find ourselves in manipulative, exploitive, and abusive relationships.
Right. I was taught by my mother, who also was a lawyer, by the way, which was quite something in her time, that you make your own life. You be able to rely on yourself, make your own living, and then the person, the man who comes into your life, is to enhance your life, not to make your life. And that was a very good lesson. Of course, I haven't gotten married, but that's another story.
Well, but do you want to get married?
No, that's a whole other
issue.
That's a whole other issue. But the other issue, though, for women who are over 50 or 60, is that there is a status image of women who are part of a couple or single women. And I think a lot of women who are over 50 or 60, we grew up in a time when no matter how successful you are or what your accomplishments, if you're not attached to a successful man, you're not successful. I don't think that the current generation faces that in the same way that our generation did, but I think that is a very significant reason why people still stay in bad relationships, and women who are not in relationships feel that they're not fully recognized for their accomplishments, even mm-hmm. though, you know, they're well accomplished.
I think it's changed a lot, Cheryl. Don't you see it?
Absolutely. And I was just going to say, first of all, I just want to thank you. We're so honored to be here on your 270th show. That's such a fabulous accomplishment, Beattie, really. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you
for
so
that.
Much.
And we thank you for you. You are just such a great voice out there for thousands and thousands of people on relationships, depression, so many things that everyone deals with and grapples with. And I'm just a couple of things when I was listening. We were talking about the domestic violence issue, and
yes,
that's so sad to hear that story, but it's unfortunately such a true story for so many people.
Yes.
And, you know, your listeners may not know this, but you've done a lot of events with us at the mm-hmm. Three Tomatoes, and there's one, and I don't think I've ever told you this story. We did one on domestic violence. We
yes.
showed a film, and then we had a panel.
I was a part of the panel.
And you were part of that mm-hmm. panel.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 months later, someone who was part of that event said to me, that event literally changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really? And she said, yes, because up until then, I always thought about domestic violence being physical.
Right.
I didn't realize about the emotional abuse. And she had been in a very long-term marriage where she was terribly emotionally abused. And that was the turning point. And it was after that event that she actually had the courage to leave. So you really did help to change one person's life that night. And I'm sure you're doing that to many. So thank you.
But I think that through Three Tomatoes, you're doing this on an absolutely ongoing basis. I mean, all the subjects and issues, you know, that affect women, regardless of our age and stage in life, I mean, you're dealing with, and you have been dealing with.
Well, the thing is, we want to have these conversations like we're having here today,
exactly.
Whether it's relationships and all of the things that are going on in our lives, because if we don't talk about these things, they stay hidden in a corner someplace.
Exactly.
And it's so important to have these discussions. And that's one of the things that's so great about Jane's book, because what she has done, it's universal truths. It's things that we have all thought at one time when you read through her book. But she's brought them out in the open, and you can read and say, I felt that way. Yes, I'm not alone in thinking this about how I look or a relationship. And it's just, it's so important, and then it's generating conversations.
Exactly, and self-reflection, and then being able to say to oneself, well, yes, and now I need to actually do something differently than I have been doing in the past, which is, you know, what I talk about, the lessons to be learned along the way without beating ourselves up for things right. That we did or didn't do. But there are always lessons. There's a takeaway.
Well, actually,
that I love from your book.
Thank you. But some of the good things in the book is it made me think of things that I didn't actually operate on. Like I have a piece about what I should have learned in kindergarten. And that is about that it is okay to make a mistake. Now, I never thought that was okay to make a mistake. And the only way you really move on is to be fearless and not be afraid to fail. So things like that are lessons that are not always given in childhood.
And yet, you know, when I look at, for example, relationships and marriage, let's be honest about all of this. The divorce rate for first marriages, do you know what it is? It's actually gone down a little bit. Take a guess, Cheryl.
Is it somewhere around 50% still?
It's around 42%.
Right.
And it was always, we were always quoting 50%.
Yeah.
The divorce rate for second marriages. Do you have any idea, Jane, what that might be?
And I used to be a divorce lawyer. I should know it.
Take a guess.
Well, it's probably still high, too. Maybe over 50%.
Maybe 62%. And the divorce statistic for third marriages is?
73%.
Are you kidding? That is exactly right.
I'm going to play
the lottery
today.
Kind of scary statistics, aren't they?
Very
really?
Scary statistics. Yeah. And of course, what those statistics, you know, really tell me is that, you know, people have not really learned anything. And how easy it is to blame the other person, you know, for why the relationships have not gone well. And instead to be able to take a really good look at oneself and say, you know, what is it about me where I am continuing to engage and I'm continuing to have relationships or I'm continuing to marry people, that I don't know, and B, where the relationships are really lacking the essential key ingredients that we need, you know, to have a successful long-term relationship, married or not.
Well, I do think, too, that when people have been married, it's very hard for them to start to deal with the fact of living alone.
Yes.
And again, talking about the status of not being connected to somebody, not be a couple, that's also something that's not necessarily looked upon. With the status for women, there's some status that you get about being part of a couple, and people are afraid to be alone, too.
And I think that is changing, and that's one of the things that I've always loved about Three Tomatoes is that you have created a network of women that with a man, without a man, or whether you're gay, with a woman, you know, in a partnership kind of a relationship, where there's always somebody. I mean, you have created this amazing, Cheryl, supportive networking group of thousands of women where we can reach out literally to almost anyone and there will be some response, if not a great deal of response from many, many women. I mean, what a gift.
Thank you so much, really. I appreciate your saying that.
It's true.
And it has been. It's been really a phenomenal experience because I had no idea when I started the Three Tomatoes. It was a little idea to send a newsletter to 60 friends, and it was conversations I was having with my friends. But what happens, and it's similar with Jane's book, too, when you start to talk about things that are honest and are deep and are true, other people relate to them. They know when it's real, and other people are sharing those same feelings and issues and emotions and thoughts. And that's really what's happened with the Three Tomatoes, because there's a shared journey here that we're going through together, and it's like you're not alone there, and we can have fun doing it along the way. So.
And there is a lot of fun.
Yes,
I mean that's
always my number one thing. That the Three Tomatoes was never about you know, telling you what to do with your life. You know, you're all perfectly empowered grown-up women, and you know the things to do. It's really about sharing the journey and having fun. I mean, to me, if you can't have fun in life, that's like the number one thing. You need to wake up every day with feeling some joy and being able to have fun. So I like to think of myself as the cheerleader for helping you make that happen.
But you actually are the cheerleader that makes it happen. And for people who are listening, you really need to check out the Three Tomatoes website. I mean, it just goes on and on. And I'm amazed how much, Cheryl, actually you are able to do. And balancing a wonderful marriage. I'm crazy about your husband and your daughter.
You. Mr. Tomato.
And I think that that's something else I think that a lot of people are struggling with right now is having, I mean, the perfect balance obviously doesn't exist. But to have some balance between work and love and fun and sleep and you know, good health and exercise, I think that especially in New York,
It's tough.
There's a pace, which is why we need to give ourselves permission to turn off the phones and the computer and take a walk and chill.
I know, and I just wanted to follow up with the thing about fun for a second, because when I was looking up things about aging, because I wrote this book for women who are older, I saw a quote that Mother Nature has no sense of humor, and you better have one.
And
laughing, they even say that even if you pretend to laugh, the hormones in your body go to better levels than when you don't. But certainly laughing and happy, doing things that make you happy, definitely those things, and having a trying to go through life with a sense of humor.
And if you're struggling, you know, I say this over and over and over again, to give yourselves permission and really ask out, you know, ask for help, and so that you're then able to really be in the moment and enjoy life without having one foot in the past and one foot in the present.
And I think that's one of the good thing about writing, whether you do it for a book or just a journal, it is really to record your thoughts, so that when you do go for help, sometimes you're not very close to the very things that you are writing about in those intimate moments. And if you have it written down, it brings all those thoughts back to you to bring to the person who might be able to help you.
Has this been for you, Jane, a really uplifting experience? I mean, you've been looking at your life, lessons that you've learned, right, discoveries that you've made. I mean, how has it affected you emotionally to be going through all of this and writing about it?
Well, it's
you can be honest, Jane.
Hey, there's three girls here. This is an honest conversation.
Well, I have to say the writing part is really fun, because I didn't remember that I had thought of so many things. That's why I suggest to everybody to write things. I wrote a thing about being an older orphan, and because I had remembered somebody when they were in their 40s said to me, he's an orphan. And I thought, really?
Uh-huh.
And then I became one, but I never thought about it. I never wrote about it. And when I wrote about it, it made me think about it. So the writing part was wonderfully fun. And to any listeners, if you have any interest in writing or any creative arts, to express yourself with that right side of the brain is just wonderful. And for me, that was very wonderful to be back into a writing mode and waking up that part of my brain.
And to have Cheryl every Sunday, you could be going through.
And then we went into the left brain, where we had to think about it. When you get into the left brain, but it was all very, it began to be a little more challenging than I realized, because one thing you write for yourself and another thing to write for other people. And then you want to make sure that the words are really going to resonate and they're going to be good words. So that part, there was a Mark Twain quote that said, the difference between getting the right word or almost the right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug, and seeking that. But Cheryl was so wonderfully patient with my need to try to get my words as good as they can. Expressing a thought was easy. Getting the words right to express it is not always easy. But I thought, just again, challenging myself, dealing with my passion. Now, coming to your show, I've never been on a radio show before.
See, isn't this easy? I told you it was going to be fun.
I know. I'm not even blushing anymore. But it is exciting. It is exciting to start something new at any age. I never expected to do this. And I thank you again, Cheryl, because I was just going to put some articles in your magazine. And she was the one who said, you know, do a book. And then very supportive friends said, do the book. And those supportive friends went through daily things with me of, why am I doing this book? I could be going to the movies. But it's wonderful. It feels like an accomplishment. But more than that, it feels like now friends say that I talk to them. These are their stories as much as mine. I talk from the I point of view. But it was very rewarding to feel like some people get something from what I experienced or my friends experienced, and we have conversations that we didn't have before. It's not just about our hairdresser.
Exactly. We all need to have, I mean, we need to talk about our hairdressers, et cetera, but I think having real conversations is something.
And another thing that's so important to what Jane hit on, and it's really the ethos of the Three Tomatoes, which is we're never too old to do anything. We're never too old to stop living our dreams. And so many of us put that roadblock.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. Like, you know, we don't say yes enough, and it's like, well, I can't do that because, you know, we have all of those excuses.
Right.
And once you take that away and you start saying yes, it totally changes the dynamic. And that's why it's great seeing people like Jane doing things at this stage of her life. I mean, I don't know that you ever thought about writing a book before,
I didn't.
And so many of us, it's like our Tomatoes Got Talent show. And Beatty, you sing. We need you on our Tomatoes Got Talent show. We're going to recruit you. But, you know, that's a talent show for women over 40 that shows that you don't, if you dreamed of being a performer, just because you're over 40, 50, 60, you don't have to say no. And that's such an important message.
Exactly. And I think that we do. We put a lot of impediments, you know, in our life. You know, I think about sex because I'm also a sex therapist. And, you know, I was reading recently some articles on menopause and how this changes and that changes and there's dryness and there's pain. Now, yes, sometimes there's dryness and there's pain. And then I think about two patients of mine that I treated in Sarasota who were in their mid-80s. And I have to tell you that after we worked through the depression, because they were both widows and had long, long-standing marriages, these two women, their sex lives were far more active than people and couples that I was treating who were in their 40s and 50s.
I love that.
It's so interesting because she was my favorite all-time patient, Charlotte, and she died when she was 92 years old. She left me the most amazing hand-painted kind of a box where you can just put books and all kinds of things. And this woman, she taught me. I mean, she died with a smile on her face. She was sexually active basically until the end. She had obviously some physical problems and it was hard to get around. And I'll never forget the day. She was probably 88, and I had to come to her. She lived in a really beautiful assisted living facility in Sarasota. And she says, Beatty, I'm dating a new man. I was like, okay. And I needed to make sure, of course, that she was safe and that nobody was after her money or anything like that. So we got all that, kind of cleared away. And she says, listen, she says, only you. I could ask you this. She says, I want you to teach me how to do oral sex. I said,
I love that at 88, right?
I said, that's good. Let's do this. So we go into her kitchen. It's a true story. And she gets a banana. And at 88, she wanted to learn how to give oral sex. And you know what? Apparently, she learned very well. The guy was very happy. And so this was the whole point about, you know, that you're never too old. I mean, obviously, not everybody at 90 is going to be wanting to learn how to give oral sex. But
well, let's hope we're all like Charlotte if we live to be 90.
I
want to
be her. Yes. I want to be her when I'm 90 years old.
A lot of people probably want to know the home she was in where these men were available.
She went out all the time. Oh. In fact, she drove almost until the end. But then they had shuttle service, and she was an actress. She was originally from New York. And she just made herself just go out and get dressed up. And age for her, I mean, even though she certainly had physical issues, it was a non-issue. She lived life to the fullest. And I think about a couple of other of similar women.
I love that. I love that.
And there was nothing that they didn't want to do. They read. They were active. They obviously, because they were in therapy with me, they had some issues that they wanted to work out. Can you imagine? I mean, calling a therapist when you're 80 years old? I mean, that's pretty darn
that
impressive.
Is.
You know,
I don't know if you remember this, but at one of our renewal summits, and I think this was my favorite all-time panel, we had a panel with four women who were all over the age of 80. And there were so many great lessons from it. First of all, none of them ever thought about age, number one. That was the first thing.
Right.
And they said they got up every day and said, looked at life as an adventure. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to get to do today? So,
well, I'm going to live it my way, which is the song right now, Alex, that we are going to play. I'm going to do it my way. Jane Goldman, I am so glad that we actually got together. Jane's book, and I recommend it to everyone. I loved it, Jane. With No Regrets, Getting Older, Face It, Live It, Love It. The words were beautiful.
Thank you so much. And thank you for inviting me on this incredible show.
Did you have fun?
I did. I didn't know if I would, but I did. And so now I can smile. No, not like that woman you were talking about, not for that reason, but I can smile and thank you.
But look, you see, you tried, this is the thing, you tried something new.
Definitely.
You know,
this is
you were
new.
Nervous, right? Understandably
Definitely.
So. And you were great.
More than going into the courtroom, certainly.
Exactly.
Well, you make it very easy.
Thank
Cheryl
you,
said
Petey.
You would make it's, it a conversation.
Yeah, she's so
a
great.
Friend.
She's a
so
great.
So thank you so much for making my first experience such a wonderful one.
Well, it was a pleasure, and I know that everybody listening.
She's
definitely.
A virgin no more.
No. You are.
And again, thank you, Cheryl, for becoming my first publisher, and I think you should do really wonderful
great.
With what you were for me
thank
on
you.
Doing this my book.
Absolutely. And everybody, I cannot even believe that you know that an hour has come and gone yet again, you know, on the Ask Beatty Show. And I want to thank everybody who listens, who emails, who texts, we debate, we discuss. And, you know, I leave listeners every single week with two messages, okay? And the first message, of course, is that we have to find whatever ways we need to find to really love ourselves. That is number one, whether you want a relationship or not. And number two, that in this country particularly, and I guess really all over the world, we have to do a much, much better job.